It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 HD2. Don't forget to take us on the go as well with the ESPN Chicago app and watch the show on YouTube and Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, or find us on YouTube. Just search ESPN Chicago. It'll pop right up there. Subscribe, all that good stuff. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan golf without the drive. And at the Players Championship right now, it's been a good tournament so far, a really strong leaderboard as well. Wyndham Clark, your leader, 4 strokes ahead of the pack. He's 14 under for the tournament right now after firing back-to-back 65s on his rounds so far. And this has been a big tournament because of the fact that for some, it feels like it's lost its luster. Used to be very well regarded as the quote-unquote fifth major. Some people don't feel that way anymore because of the fracturing between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and some of the defects that have left. You don't get guys like Bryson, Brooks Koepka, Jon Rahm in these tournaments anymore. You still get a good field, one of the best non-major fields that you will find in all of golf. But for some, it just feels like another one of those big-time events, maybe on par with like the Memorial in terms of the fields that you're getting at these.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, and while the field is great and fun to watch, we just feel it feels very vanilla. And when I say vanilla, it missing a lot of the, you know, the villains. You know, where's our Ian Poulter? Where are the guys, the Patrick Reeds we like to root against, and they're annoying, and they're trying to take something that's rightfully going to hopefully be won by the guy we want, whether it's Rory or Scotty. And that helps build the theater and the play and what in the entertainment. And we don't have it. So it's missing not only the villains, but it's also missing the very best in the world. And so as a result, what has happened is that the four majors, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open and the British Open, or as they affectionately call it, the Open, are all now at such a level, so much higher than any other event the PGA Tour or anyone else can offer at this point in terms of fan interest, fan engagement, impressions, eyes, all of it. And from a business perspective, the USGA, the PGA of America, R&A, and Augusta National are sitting back like they're actually, while they may not be enjoying this, they're enjoying the fruits of what is occurring because their events have been hyper-focused now more than ever as much as must-watch TV. It's just that simple. So, you know, what needs to happen? And it would have been amazing if they could have gotten these negotiations to a point where Monahan could have extended an olive branch over to LIV to say, guys, you're not going to play in any of our signature events, but we are not going to let this thing fall out of the eyes of many as the fifth major. So Brooks, come on over and play and invite a few of the key guys to make it the strongest field in the game. And, you know, it might be a committee decision or whatever it might be, but I think that would have gone a long way in illustrating that getting back together is on the horizon. We are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But instead, this just feels no different than really Bay Hill or the Memorial. I mean, you've got a good leaderboard, but it's certainly not going to be like the Masters. I can promise you that.
Well, yeah, definitely. And even the majors, I mean, Taylor Gooch talked about it a couple weeks ago, how, listen, I've been the best golfer on the LIV Tour. And I'm not in the major field, so or I'm not in the Masters field, so can you really call it like what this is? And the fact that he's not a shoe-in for a lot of these majors is frustrating for him, and he's kind of taking that stance and rebelling against the majors itself and the process there, and it's because of the world golf ranking points, and they've got to figure that out once everything's merged together as well, so... Yes, like this, you're taking away the luster of a tournament like the Players, but you may be taking away the luster of some of the majors as well if you don't figure this thing out quickly.
No, and...
Because what happens to the guy that comes out of college and then goes straight to LIV instead of going to the Korn Ferry and then ultimately the PGA Tour.
Well, that is a massive fear for the PGA Tour in terms of the long term, for sure. Because trust me, the money will talk more than ever before, because now it's not as, you know, how should I say, unpopular to go to live. It's mm-hmm. now more of, well, I don't blame you. Right. Yeah. And where before it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I think you could play handball against the curb. I think so mm-hmm. lowly of you, you know, mm-hmm. but it's different. So to these kids coming out of college and, you know, soon a few years down the road, if this continues, a lot of these kids making these decisions aren't going to really remember this whole live PGA Tour thing. All they're mm-hmm. seeing is this one tour plays for a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it could upset the apple cart in that vein. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that we have to consider in terms of trying to win this back. But in doing so, I think the one thing that has to change and change quickly is how do you go endear yourself back to these fans? Because let's face it, the TV ratings for these signature events are down, and they're down considerably, and down considerably so quickly. Like, I could see it in a few years being down, but it's already happening. So. Yeah. You know, I think Rory is a testament as to how he is totally flipped, and he thinks that the players should be able to come back without penalty. He yeah. knows that we have to get this thing right, and you know, hopefully, you can believe what Jay is saying, that the negotiations have accelerated, mm-hmm. and what we're finding out this week is that he was in Saudi Arabia recently. So I've got a lot of questions for James Colgan, because really. You know, what's the vibe like? But really, what's the vibe like once you stop talking about birdies and bogeys down there? Because there's a business side of this that's going on right now, literally as we speak. And I don't know, will it be done before Augusta? Could it be? You never know.
Yeah. Real quick, you brought up Rory there. I do want to play some of his thoughts in terms of getting the fans to re-engage with the PGA Tour after there has been all this drama and maybe a fracturing of some of the fan base.
So I think probably, from limited conversations with SSG and sort of what they're thinking, I think the on-site experience is something that they're going to heavily invest in. So trying to get more people, I don't think every week has to be like a Phoenix Open, but I think having it be more of an event. Like you think of, like Formula One, for example, and it's like, okay, you go there and it's a weekend of racing, but there's so much else going on, and you get 400,000 people in through the gates on any given weekend. So creating more events like that, where it's a way to enhance the on-site experience for a fan, even fans that don't necessarily, you know, watch golf week in, week out, but, you know, you try to bring them to a tournament, get them introduced, and, you know, I think that's one part. And then I think the television experience, I think, and I think Jay referenced this with PGA Tour Studios up the street. And I mean, I think if I were a fan, I would want to watch the best players compete against each other week in, week out. And to me, that seems like the lowest hanging fruit. Well, not the lowest hanging fruit, but basically, okay, I think if you just unified the game and brought us all back together in some way, that would be great for the fans, I would imagine. And then I think that would then put a positive spin on everything that's happened here, and we're like, okay, get together, we all move forward, and I think people could get excited about that. And I don't know what that looks like, and that seems like it's probably further away than it should be, but, I mean, that's my perspective on it.
So Rory McIlroy talking about how to get the fans back, and he wants unification at this point, and he realizes that some of these have to be, there has to be more invested into the actual event itself.
And as he spoke, and the first time I heard that press conference this week, I couldn't help but think, he's describing what LIV did.
Yeah.
To the T. They did exactly that. They looked at their television. They looked at the fans' experience. They looked at all the, you know, experiential, you know, events that you can bring to a golf course. You, if you go out to Rich Harvest Farm, there was all kinds of things to do. It was a party. And then, oh, by the way, there's this golf event going on. Now, did they build the best mousetrap? Probably not. I think there's a lot of better things you could do. But to Rory's point, the fan has to be thought of first, and then you go back to the players. And that's what LIV was able to do. They created this, and then they went to the players with it instead of the players telling them, well, it's got to be like this. Well, no. They put together what they think is the best product for a fan experience in this day and age for this demographic. It's loud and it's different. It's fun. It's just a different vibe. Now, is that appropriate for the PGA Tour? No. But the process as to how they went about building this is exactly what the PGA Tour needs to do. They have to put their ego aside and for once think about the fan in earnest, because if they don't, they're in trouble for the long term. And when I say that, I mean at the end of when these TV contracts, you know, expire, and that's around 2029. So, you know, I loved what Rory had to say, and I think if they follow that process and that formula, we will have an outcome that we can all be happy with.
I don't know if you ever watched the TV show Winning Time on HBO, is about the Showtime Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
But and again, there's a lot of fabrications in that, but there is some truth to some of it. And I think part of it is making the game a show like Jerry Buss did.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what the PGA Tour now has to do, is they have to make your run-of-the-mill event that happens every single weekend, aside from the big ones, like people are going to show up to the Memorial every year. People are showing up to the Masters, the U.S. Open. You don't have to worry about those. Those are fine. But it's about making, like, the John Deere. Can you spruce that up and make it an event that everyone wants to go to? Can you make, obviously, like, the ways, basically do, and Rory alludes to it, you don't need a Phoenix Open every week.
No.
But you need to have some sort of niche to it. You need some sort of element to make it a show so people want to show up to it every single week.
Exactly. And obviously engaging with the community in a way that you maybe never have. And even though you've been a long-standing, you know, fabric of the community, are you still doing enough? Is there more you could be doing in terms of, you know, engaging with the younger generation in the community? And a lot of it also depends on the operational limitations, and that being the golf course itself and the property that surrounds it in terms of other things you can offer a fan. But some of this also goes back to digital. It goes back to your phones, and it goes back to the ease of watching and being able to say, let's follow your player. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that yet. I mean, but you basically can with LIV on certain levels. And so I think there's a lot more in the ability to consume digitally and or video wise the product. And I think those advances need to be made. I think there need to be more cameras. I think it's just the production has to get bigger, grander on every scale.
Yeah. And I think you bring up the digital part of it too. Like, the other part is just making golf cool and appealing to other people. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but like seeing Caleb Williams out at this golf tournament, I think for a lot of people resonates as, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, guy who's about to go number one in the NFL draft is out and just spending his time at a golf tournament and walking the course. And that's the other thing too, is like the fan experience is different than any other sport. It's a very intimate experience, and there's different ways to watch. It's not like every other sport where you have your assigned seat and you sit there for the entire time. No, there's different ways to watch a golf tournament.
Oh, there's
no
doubt.
You can follow a golfer. You can sit at a hole. You can mobilize however you feel because the venue is so large. So I think that, to me, is you have to find ways to market that this experience is different than your run-of-the-mill baseball, basketball, football game.
Exactly. And to further your point, we can't go out and play baseball at Wrigley Field after the game is over.
No.
But we can certainly go play the golf course when it's done.
Yeah.
You can go play Bay Hill. You can play Pebble Beach. Now, you have to have a wallet to go along with it. Mm-hmm. But Torrey Pines is very reasonable. There's a lot of courses that these guys go to that you could, in fact, get out and play on. But what other sport is it that you can go on and actually compete and play your own game on the same surface that they are. I look at maybe tennis. You might be able to if you can get into a stadium. But skiing is the other one, maybe. But other than that, you can, I mean, hey, let's go play flag football down at Soldier Field. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Now, we could go simulate in our backyard. Mm-hmm. But this is the one sport that we can actually use the same equipment, the same clubs, the same balls, and just absolutely appreciate what they're doing because we can step out on the same arena that they just performed on.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into the beef between Xander Schauffele and Jay Monahan. We'll do that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. Speaking of the golf season, posting season has officially arrived with the CDGA as of yesterday.
It sure has.
You can start posting your scores on that CDGA app. So download that and join at cdga.org. Get your membership. I always tell you, pays for itself. One of the best values you'll find in golf is a CDGA membership. So go to cdga.org and sign up there. You can start getting your handicap index there. And you can finally start posting your scores as well.
Yep.
So I'm sure a few people, even though the weather hasn't been great, I'm sure a few people have found their way to posting some scores.
Oh, there was a lot of scores posted yesterday, and I'm sure there will be a lot today, even though it's a little chilly. Mm-hmm. But
you can make today work.
Yes, you can, because it's sunny
out.
It's
supposed to be like 55 later, yeah.
But the wind is going to kick up, and it's going to get cold, and it's going to be hard playing conditions. But enjoy the golf.
Yeah, get it while you can, especially, I mean, we're usually not talking about golf at this time of the year. So.
Never.
All right, let's get into what's been going on down at the Players a little bit more. Jay Monahan had talked about this process with LIV Golf. He's obviously the poster child for this deal right now. And he talked about the pace at which the negotiations have been accelerating.
As we went through that process, Bob, there were a number of potential investors. And we made the decision on December 7th as a board unanimously to move forward with SSG. It was important for SSG and it was important for the tour to engage directly with the PIF prior to finalizing any deal, which is why, you know, I joined principals from SSG on a trip to Saudi Arabia to meet with Yasser and members of PIF, and that's why we continue to have productive discussions. There's a mutual respect there that I think is helpful towards, towards ultimately getting a deal done. And I think it is that level of discussion that has helped accelerate the conversations.
So he feels like the conversations are accelerating right now. I know Rory kind of had Jay's back earlier in the week saying that, you know, you look at a lot of things that he has done, it has been good for the game, and he still has the full support of Rory McIlroy, which for Jay Monahan, I mean, if you've got the support of Rory and Tiger, that's kind of a really good spot to be in right now. However, one person who is not as far into the support weeds for Jay Monahan, he's not going to be banging the drum the same way some of these other guys are, is Xander Schauffele.
I guess we'll start with the easy ones. Yeah, I mean, you know what I've said in the past on how I feel about it. You know, trust is something that's pretty tender. So words are words, and I'd say in my book he's got a long way to go. He could be the guy, but in my book he's got a long way to go to gain the trust of the membership. I'm sure he's got the support of the board since they were with him making some of those decisions. But for me personally, he's got quite a ways to go.
Xander.
So Xander Schauffele not as keen on Jay Monahan as some of the other players on the tour, saying that there's still a long way to go for him to fully trust what Jay Monahan is doing.
Well, you know, it just goes to show you human nature. You destroy trust, it's going to be a long journey to get it all back. And from Xander's perspective, he hasn't had an insight to what's going on behind the scenes as much as some of these other guys have. And in his opinion, Jay hasn't measured up to what he thinks a leader should be doing, either communicating and how he's going about it. Xander's simply just not a fan right now. And I think, you know, there is a sentiment out there, and some of my colleagues have told me that there's quite a few players on tour that would love to see a change in that leadership because they think a fresh start is going to be what it's going to take to rebuild this, you know, this brand, this product from the ground up to endear ourselves back to the fans like we were talking about earlier. But Xander, it's going to take a while to win his confidence back if you're Jay Monahan in a big, big way.
I think, too, it's different when you're Rory than when you're Xander Schauffele. And Xander's a terrific player.
Yep.
But he doesn't have the same number of skins on the wall. He's not going to be treated the same way inside that room as a Xander Schauffele is. He's not going to be treated like he's Rory McIlroy. And I think that's the thing that's probably biting at him a little bit is the fact that, well, yeah, of course Rory's going to like him because sure. he used to be part of that policy board, and the tour is going to bend over backwards to cater to his needs because he's stuck through with them through thick and thin. And as a result of that, well, he's gained the loyalty, and he was one of the big names where if Rory had jumped over, the PGA Tour may have lost all legitimacy mm-hmm. because of the fact that that was the big guy who he's been a number one in the world. He's been a major winner. Like, the tour needs Rory McIlroy. It was a big hit when they lost John Rahm. A yep. big hit.
A huge hit.
And I feel like John Rahm was probably the lost for the, in their eyes, where you lose John Rahm and it feels like the taboo of LIV almost goes away. Because he was, he's your reigning Masters champion. He's had a ton of success on the tour. And it was kind of, you'd already reached the agreement that you were going to merge with LIV. What's the need for him to go over? You know that gobs of money are being pumped into the PGA Tour sooner rather than later. At least all signs were indicating that way. And now all of a sudden, why is one of the top players in the world leaving what seemed like a security blanket now with the PGA Tour?
Exactly. And John Rahm represents that player that is loved by the European contingency as well as the American contingency. And so, to your point, I think he helps, and I'm sure it was strategic on the Saudis' side of things to go after him as a means of really starting to really tone down the emotions and, you know, the hatred and all of that was coming along with it when it first, you know, came online. So, yeah, John Rahm represents, you know, I guess really hope in that sense of it. Now, when you listen to Xander talk about it, I think you sometimes have to read through the lines a little bit. And is he sour grapes because he's not in the know? Is he not part of that six? Because I know that there are players on tour that want to be on that policy board and that aren't. So they're not getting the information and there are those type that if they're in the know, they're happy. If they're not in the know, now they're sour grapes. And so you have to wonder how much of that goes into it. But you also have to wonder how many other people feel like Xander. And yeah. So it's
I guess, yeah, more feel like Xander than feel like Rory.
Absolutely.
So real quick, I want to squeeze in James. He's in Florida. What's going on, James?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good show.
Hey, thank James.
You. Second time I've caught you. I'm calling in because I consider myself a purist, and what they've done to golf on TV is just terrible. The side-by-side ads that they run, complete patronization of your fan base, a kick in the stones. Golf, you need to know what's going on. You need to hear commentary. They minimize the screen. They throw you a little piece of candy and say, shut up and watch my ad. I've been watching golf for 30 years. I've stopped. I'll tape it. I'll go back later, watch it, but I'll fast through all the ads, as they do with all sports. Football's unwatchable. Baseball's unwatchable. Basketball, I gave up on 30 years ago. But I'm just telling you, you can't watch golf on TV anymore. You just can't. And it's a shame. They do a side-by-side ad. They cut back for one shot, and then they go away to another three-minute ad. I mean, really? Your fans are smarter than that, and hopefully you guys know the guys to talk to try to correct this. Thanks for letting me rant.
All right. Thanks, James. We'll check in with another James down in Florida, and he's got a good insight on some of the media landscape within golf. So it'll be interesting. We'll pick his brain on that as well. That's coming up next. James Colgan from golf.com will join us live from the Players. That's coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Let's go on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, where we find golf.com's James Colgan. He spent some time down at the Players this week. He joins us now on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Good morning, James. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tyler. I am doing I'm doing great. I have just slept for an eternity for the first time all week after what felt like a really fascinating look into the state of the sport right now. And I am feeling nice and recovered to speak with you guys. So very excited to be on.
So I was going to ask you first here, what's been the biggest storyline for you off the golf course and then on the golf course from what you've seen this week down in Florida?
So I would say the far and away the biggest story heading into the week was Jay Monahan's press conference on Tuesday morning. It would be the first time we were going to hear from the PGA Tour commissioner really since that crazy merger agreement with the Saudi PIF last summer. Now that is already. And we were kind of went into that expecting to get a look at where golf was headed over the next few months, and particularly where that agreement with the Saudis was headed. We were kind of expecting to get an update of some kind. At the very least, we were expecting that we would hear something about what that agreement might look like. There have been a lot of conversations about team golf taking on a specific format in the future of the sport. There have been a lot of conversations about what the agreement might look like as far as live players coming back to play on the PGA Tour and vice versa. So we were hoping to get just a little bit of clarity from the commissioner on what all of this meant. And given this is sort of his State of the Union, this is where he comes every year to state the PGA Tour's intentions for the year ahead. We figured, you know, what better time for that than here to get some sort of update on where things were going. Well, Jay spoke at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and he spoke for about an hour, and he said very much of nothing. there was not really much of anything that came out of that as far as receiving an update or receiving any real clarity on where these conversations about equity and about these billions of dollars in investment in professional golf were going. About the biggest clue that we kind of received involving anything was that Monahan said that the conversations with the PIF were accelerating was the word that he used, but he said he really could not speak any further on any of that stuff. As for what the accelerating conversations meant for the $3 billion investment the PGA Tour just received from a group of the biggest sports owners in the United States, we heard nothing. There was no clear answer. There was no real indication about where the sport was headed and what, kind of what all of that meant. So it was a little disappointing, to be honest with you, because we kind of were expecting to get at least a glimpse into what the future of the sport looks like. And after so many months of hearing from people on the PGA Tour side about how, you know, answers were coming and we just had to be patient, we had to kind of wait for things to get figured out, to be handed another sort of blasé non-answer was a pretty disappointing development. But then the good news was that play started on Thursday, so we really only had to go 24 hours miring in that disappointment. And almost immediately, we got something we haven't had all year on the PGA Tour, and that is a group of stars at the very top of the leaderboard. Rory and Scottie Scheffler each played really well to start on Thursday. Wyndham Clark had a great opening round, 65. Xander Schauffele, a name we haven't heard turn to the top of the leaderboard in a long time, shot up to the top. Even Matt Fitzpatrick, former U.S. Open champ, has been playing well. So the good news for the PGA Tour this week has been the stars have finally come out to play for the first time in what feels like an eternity. But the bad news is involving the very big thing in golf, the massive fatigue and frustration that so many people are feeling with the sport, and particularly this kind of never-ending obsession with money, we really did not receive any clarity or any more clarity than we entered the week with.
Well, James, thanks for joining us here this morning. And, you know, listening to you, I have the exact same feeling, which then brings me to the next question. The vibe down there, does it really feel no longer like a fifth major as we talk about on course? And then after we're done talking birdies and bogeys at the end of the day, say first round, second round, you know, what's the vibe now about what Jay said and didn't say? So I guess both on and off the course, how did you find the players taking all this?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of discussion at the beginning of the week about how the field and the players had been affected more than any other event in professional golf by the you know, events and the creation of LIV. The thinking behind that being, of course, that the players has been always like a major championship field. They've always kind of prided themselves on having the best field in golf. And the reality is that, you know, after all of this has sort of developed with LIV, a lot of those players are no longer here. We just haven't gotten the same reflection of strong play. So, you know, the developments once play actually did begin, and you know, once everyone was kind of out on the golf course, to me, I was kind of surprised by how little the difference felt from Players' Championship past. To be honest with you, I felt like we had heard a pretty good amount of speculation about the fact that the field wouldn't be that good or that interesting. But I looked around the field on Thursday, and I felt that there was a really strong collection of the best players in golf, including a lot of the best young players in golf playing. Obviously, you've lost a tremendous amount of talent to LIV, and that's not, you know, there's no sort of avoiding that reality. But I think that whole narrative is maybe a little bit overblown. But as far as how the players were reacting to what Jay was saying on Tuesday, I think the interesting thing is that, you know, a year ago when all of this stuff happened with the PIF, we heard from so many players sort of vaguely questioning whether or not Jay Monahan would deserve to stay in his job in the long term based off of just the absolutely horrendous way that the tour handled that whole situation. And the ironic thing is that I felt like in the aftermath of Jay's presser on Tuesday, there were even more guys talking about the state of his job. Now, of course, not everyone was saying that they felt that he should be removed as commissioner, but there were a lot of big names who really pointedly avoided making any sort of specific statement about what they felt about Jay or making any sort of really pointed effort at defending him in his job. Justin Thomas avoided really saying anything in defense of the commissioner. Victor Hovland avoided saying anything in defense of the commissioner. Patrick Cantlay, who serves on the PGA Tour's policy board, avoided saying anything in defense of the commissioner. And then Xander Schauffele, who I was speaking about before, went as far as to say, you know, that he still doesn't trust Jay and doesn't really trust what the tour has been doing. So clearly there's still a lot of hurt feelings among the players on tour. And I think that's a really concerning thing for the commissioner because he's had 9 months to figure this out. He's had 9 months to smooth over these relationships, to make his players believe that they should have faith in him and his vision for the future of the sport. And he has not executed that in the slightest based off of the conversations that I was having. But now the one big development that we got on late yesterday afternoon, was a report from Golf Week's Eamon Lynch saying that apparently a series of the tour's biggest players have been sort of told that they should go and meet with the head of the Saudi PIF, this figure Yasser Al-Rumayyan. And I think the interesting thing is that that would seem to indicate that the conversations about a merger are kind of in their last stages. I don't know where this is headed necessarily, and I think it is still too early to say that we are definitely going to get a merger. But as far as what this all means for the man at the center of all of it, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, I would say he has had better weeks than he had this week.
That goes without saying, for sure. So, you know, you did bring up the fact that, you know, the PGA Tour Enterprises Board potentially, and it looks like from various sources that I'm reading, that are all heading to meet with them. And so that does give us optimism. But if I was just going to ask you, James, if you looked into your crystal ball, could you see a scenario that this could come to a nice resolution before we play the first major this year? Or do you think this thing is still maybe not until the end of the summer?
Yeah, I think the push is to get this done before the Masters. I think implicit and explicit pressure has been put on both parties to figure this out before Augusta National. The thinking obviously there is that Augusta National does not take kindly to people overshadowing their biggest tournament of the year, and really their only, you know, major championship, their biggest event in golf, really, of the year. They do not take kindly to people overshadowing that. And so I think the PIF and the PGA Tour have both sort of set hopes of getting a resolution, maybe even to, you know, to announce in the week or 2 weeks preceding the PGA Tour, or sorry, preceding the Masters. But, you know, the difficult thing about all of this is you're not just dealing with a membership organization of 150 players who all has equal say in kind of what the future of all of this means. And you're not just dealing with, you know, an authoritarian government whose investments in the United States and in professional sports have generated a lot of attention from the governing bodies in the United States. You're dealing with both of those things. And then on top of that, the Justice Department, which has invested significant time and resources looking into this merger to make sure that it's not in violation of the United States antitrust laws. So you've got a really, really complicated situation here where there's not just an easy solution to find the final outcome or to find where things are headed in the long run here. You've got to deal with a lot of different people who all have to be in alignment on what the final version of this looks like. I think there is reason for optimism that this could get done in the next few weeks. But I just feel a certain sense of, and maybe this is just my own emotions from having dealt with hoping and being told that we were going to receive answers for the last 9 months and really not feeling like I've received any sort of clarity from anyone in the sport about this. But I would put myself as cautiously optimistic, but very, very cautious still.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, James.
Thank you, James.
And enjoy the Masters right around the corner and the rest of the players.
Cheers, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
James Colgan from golf.com joining us here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA as we have entered the posting season. All that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Jack McGrath and Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Thank you to James Colgan for joining us as well from golf.com. You missed anything, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app on the CDGA Golf Show tab. Mike, what is going on around the CDGA?
Well, first and foremost, Tyler, we want to say thank you to the almost 3,000 CDGA members currently playing CDGA Fantasy Golf presented by Tour Edge this weekend. And it's been a wild one. So if you missed out, you can get involved. We're going to have six more events, including the four majors. And we also have two female LPGA events to put into the mix this year. So we have the Sweet Seven for fantasy this year. So if you missed out this weekend, no worries. Join the biggest crowd of the season. We'll be playing for at the Masters. So last weekend, a big shout out to the officials that we discussed last weekend that were taking the USGA PGA rules seminar. And then ultimately on Monday, they all took a test. It was a 100-person written test that they took, and 90% If you score 90, you are an expert, or you could be a PGA Tour rules official status. And 74 to 89 is advanced. Well, congratulations to our own young Will Cawthorn, who on his very first attempt taking this test, which I know people that have taken it 15 times and can't get past 84. Wow. He scored 94 on his first go.
It's like the kid who goes into the ACT cold and gets a 35.
And rumor has it he was watching some basketball during class while on his little computer. So he must just be a sponge. Just congratulations, Will. Wow. And we look forward to big things. We're glad he joined our team from Augusta, Georgia. He came up from the Golf Association of Georgia. So we're happy to have him. And then again, just to remind everybody, it is now opening season and you can score. And when you do go in, if you can't log into your portal right away, it's because it's asking you for your handicap ID. For those who don't know where your handicap ID, you just can either log into the website or your app using your email address and then the password, and check then below on the membership card your name. It will have your handicap ID. It's right above rounds posted. So that is going to be your GIN number and your entry into your portal from here on out. It matches the rest of the world. And that's it from the CDGA.
Awesome. I'm sure things will start to ramp up even more and more as we get closer and closer to the consistent good weather that we'll have. All right. Thank you to Tour Edge for sponsoring this segment. We will be back with you next week, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Peggy and Dion coming up next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.